It comes from Hebrews 4, 14 through 15. And this is the ESV translation. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. This is the word of God. Junior church, you may be dismissed.
Good morning, Wheeland. It's great to be here with you this morning. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here. If I haven't had an opportunity to meet you, I'd love to be able to do that. You know, you've heard me say that saying each morning when I come up here to preach. I'm one of the pastors here. Maybe you're thinking, does he not know that he's the senior pastor? I get it. But why do I do that? So I want to remind myself that this is not my church. It's Jesus' church. So out of humility, I do it. But also out for your benefit as well, that it's not your church. It's Jesus' church. And we have a plurality of elders here at Wheatland. Elders, please, those who are in the sanctuary right now, please stand up. We got Dan. We've got Sean. And then I think Eric. There's Aaron way back there. These guys are caring for you. I'm not the only one caring for you. These guys are shepherding you. These guys did an amazing job in waiting and searching for a senior pastor. And so I just want you to know that, to also pray for them as well, because they work full-time jobs. And then they turn around and care for the flock. So they actually then have two full-time jobs as a result. So I just want you to be aware of that. That's why I say those things each Sunday morning when I get up here to preach. Well, welcome if you're a new visitor with us. We are so glad that you're here. We do have some Bibles underneath the seat that you can use. We use the ESV. If you feel more comfortable in using your device, you're welcome to do that. Or if you want a free Bible, we have one in the foyer that you can grab. So we are going to have a unique message this morning. And the cat's already out of the bag. I scrapped the message that I thought I was leaning towards. I was trying to come up with 3 points on encapsulating the book of Hebrews. And the more and more I tried to do that, the more I said, forget it. And then I sat down, started writing, and then I couldn't stop. So I'm going to take that as it's from the Holy Spirit. And so you can pray for me even as I preach this morning. So we're in the book of Hebrews. This series is called Jesus, Our Perfect Priest for Weary People. Church, we're weary people. We are weary people. The cares of this wilderness world that we live in can weigh us down. The trials and temptations of life at times seem overwhelming. But in addition to threats outside of us, there is our own sinful, fickle, and forgetful hearts. Listen, we don't just need a churchianity faith. A churchianity faith where I'm going to do the church thing. I'm going to come here Sunday morning. Yep, okay, the word's going to be opened. Great. But then the rest of our week, we just kind of do whatever we want to do. That's churchianity. We don't just need a churchianity faith, but a faith that endures. A faith that is founded and lived through Christ, the one who endured perfectly, Jesus Christ. As one commentary says, we are needy sinners in need of a gracious and mighty Savior, and that is just what God has provided in his incarnate Son, Jesus Christ. Pray with me as we begin this morning. Pray with me as we ask the Lord to prepare our hearts to receive his word. Thank you, God Almighty, for your holy word. Thank you that you have spoken through the Son, the living word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. May our lives be saturated with a love for him, because he is our perfect priest and our perfect sacrifice and our perfect king, who will return and usher us into his kingdom that will never be shaken. As we live in this world, fill us with your spirit and help us to endure, to run the race that you have set before us, and to fix our eyes on Jesus. Oh God, do not let us harden our hearts or drift from your word. But instead, Lord, may Jesus be more glorious to us than ever. He is delighted in Jesus. You're like, well, wasn't the psalmist in Psalm 119? Yeah, you're getting the picture now. Yeah, that's right. He is delighted. He can't wait to share the news about who this Jesus is. Do you remember those days when you could not stop talking about Jesus? Maybe you are further along in life, and those cares of the world that Pastor Sean just prayed about are weighing you down. Maybe you've moved past such things, kind of seen it as elementary or too overzealous. Or maybe you're here this morning and you know that you have not believed in Jesus. You've not believed in the mercy and grace of Christ. Again, the author of Hebrews is infatuated, if I could use that term. He can't get enough of Jesus and thinks the world of him because Jesus is his world. So, church, may we feel the same as we work our way through this complex but glorious book. Now, all glory and honor and praise to my wife who made these slides. Glory to God for her. Jesus, our perfect priest for weary people. Intro to the book of Hebrews here. What's the big idea of the book of Hebrews? Jesus is better. He's superior. He is our everything. If you don't get anything this morning, I pray that you get that. Jesus is better. He is superior. He is our everything. So this morning, I want to give you an overview of this glorious book. I don't have 3 points in a poem. Sorry. I don't have 4 points. I might have 50. I don't know, but I promise you, you're not going to be here all morning. So we're not going to be looking at a particular text and camping out at it, but several texts. And some of you know this already, but we don't know who the author of this book is. We don't know who it was. Some have said that the Apostle Paul was the author, but the style of the letter is more like a sermon, and the typical letter from Paul seems a little bit different, you know, with the greeting, thanksgiving, the body of the letter, even the separation of, you know, on this side of the letter, he's talking about who we are in Christ, and on this side of the letter, you know, he's talking about how we then obey him. You don't see that in the book of Hebrews. It's like this dance that goes back and forth. Here's who Jesus is. Here's who we are. And here's then how we obey him. Let us, let us, let us endure, endure. Let's go, let's go. And that's, there's this momentum that happens. And he's got an argument that he's tracing through the whole book, that he's trying to convince. We're going to learn about why. The author of Hebrews' method of argument, it just seems so different than Paul's. And you know what? If you want to invite me out to a cup of coffee or even lunch, I'll do lunch with you. I would be happy to talk about that more with you. And you and I can then agree to disagree, and then we'll wait till heaven and we'll talk to Jesus about it. But more importantly, we know the supreme author of this book. It's God himself. His word is God-breathed, inspired, 2 Timothy 3:16. Or as Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God, it's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow. And it discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The book was most likely written in the early 60s AD, not the 60s, 1960s. Okay, good. Just seeing if you're awake or not. The author in Hebrews 2:3 seems to suggest, if you want to turn with me there as we go along in the book, you're welcome to do that. Hebrews 2:3 seems to suggest that he received the message from the apostles themselves, but was not an apostle himself. He tells us this message, declared at first by the Lord, see that? And attested to us, that's himself and others, by those, that's the apostles, who heard. In Hebrews 13:23, he appears to know Timothy through a mutual friend. And like a good pastor of pastors, he knows his flock well, and he longs to be with them again. Hebrews 13:19. See, we're going to be going through this pretty quickly. What we also know is that he is most likely writing to Jewish Christians. Hebrews. That's why the book is called Hebrews. That's his audience, Jewish Christians, who are receiving outside pressure to stop following Jesus and to return to rituals, laws, and sacrifices. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 9 through 13. Hebrews 13, 9 through 13. Listen to the word. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate, in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. This audience is suffering from persecution as well. They are getting hit hard. They are considering if their new faith in Jesus is worth following. The social pressures of family and friends to turn back to the old way of living are wearing on them, and they are wondering, is Jesus worth it? Have you been there before? Or maybe you're there right now. You grew up in the church, and the gospel's become like white noise to you. But maybe you're wondering, why am I not growing in Christ? Why do I see somebody else that's just like growing in leaps and bounds, but I'm still here. I'm still stuck. Then you need the book of Hebrews. Look with me in Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 says this. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of a God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Church. We live in a time where even the church cannot recognize good from evil. Why? What lie have we bought into? Yes, a big reason is we're not in the Word. We are a YouTube culture or an Instagram, and we choose to depend on other preachers and pastors that are really great, are really convincing. But what if they're preaching false doctrine? And if we're not in the Word, we don't know. We need the book of Hebrews, brothers and sisters. We live in an age where good is called evil and evil is called good. We need the book of Hebrews so that we can fight against worldliness that grows in our hearts daily. Why do we need the book of Hebrews? We're already there. Here's a quote by David Wells in his book called Losing Our Virtue. Worldliness is that system of values. Did you guys notice it's a little bit bigger now? In any given age, which has its center, our fallen human perspective, which displaces God and his truth from the world, and which makes sin look normal and righteousness seem strange. It thus gives great plausibility to what is morally wrong, and for that reason makes what is wrong seem normal. Greg Strand, we went to Stay Sharp Theology Conference with a group of people, had a blast, had a great time getting to know people, them getting to know me as well. Just loved it. It was 10 years to the date that Kendra and I went to the same church, same conference, where we closed the church in January of 2016, and we went with our hearts heavy. And this time, we went with our hearts full. Praise God. Greg Strand is a biblical scholar. He's over the theology of the EFCA. Greg Strand has said himself, if we depart from the gospel, I'm gone. That's what he said. So we got a good guy in the national office. To what degree are you defined by the world? He basically asked. By the word. How would you know? How can you develop your life more fully by the word? Can you identify those idols in your life? Are you willing to confess them? That is, acknowledge them, even to another, even to an unbeliever, and repent of them. To what degree are you defined by the world, by the word? What would you know? How would you know? Maybe you are dangerously at a point of leaving the faith altogether because you do not have a clear understanding of the gospel. Or maybe you know someone who has deconstructed their faith. Church, that's apostasy. That's the apostasy of today. It's calmed down for quite a bit. There's not a lot of YouTube videos coming on of, oh, look at how I deconstructed my faith. Look at how the church has failed me. Look at how God has failed me. Look how I'm disappointed in God. Look at how Christianity is a sham. This book, Hebrews, is for you. These Jewish Christians were struggling with the same thing as they flirted with apostasy, who have tasted, been enlightened. These are the words shared in the Holy Spirit, tasted the goodness of the gospel and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away. Hebrews 6:4-6. Church, we live in an age where if people have a bad experience or have church hurt, they stop going to church. And some of those churches, rightly so. But they stop going to church altogether. They fall prey to cynicism. They become leery of institutions. And this has been going on for quite some time, and COVID revealed it. God used COVID to reveal it. Think about it. How many people left the church and didn't come back? These seats are empty because of COVID. And then not because of COVID, because of what was going on in their hearts. In the seats of the churches around here in the Rochester area, gospel-centered preaching churches. Those churches are a little bit more emptied because God was cleansing his church. I firmly believe that. We live in an age where if people have a bad experience or have church hurt, they stop going to church altogether. And they fall prey to that cynicism where no institution, and especially the church, can be trusted. Are you a cynic towards the church? Have you been hurt by the church? First off, man, we are glad you are here. And we understand your cynicism. Fight it every day. Hebrews is for you. Taylor Combs, in his essay, Why We Venerate and Vilify Christian Leaders. It's an excellent essay in Leadership Journal. I recommend it highly for you to read it. It is both applicable to the leader as well as to the lay leaders, as well as to those who are the members and attenders of the church. He comments on this cynicism. He writes, this is what we see in so many who have deconstructed their faith and deconverted because of a bad experience with a pastor. And I would add, a bad experience with a ministry leader. We have no desire, he says, to minimize the hurt of an abused sheep. But we must say this clearly. Church, listen to this. If you deconstructed your faith because of the failures of a Christian leader or institution, Your faith was not in Jesus, it was in that leader or institution. And if you were reading your Bibles, you would know that. Because Jesus has words for the Pharisees. He's got words for those who abuse his sheep. But those who are his sheep, he has words of compassion. He has words of mercy and grace. He was labeled the sinner. He was labeled a glutton, a friend of sinners. Church, that's what we need to be. With opposition from without and greater and more dangerous opposition from within, the author calls his flock and us to endure, to press on, to persevere, to encourage and remind each other that Jesus is better. He is our perfect priest for us weary people. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Please turn with me there in your Bibles. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, amen, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is what? Faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. Not neglecting to meet together. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Church, we need each other to finish the race, to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need each other. I need you. Jesus needs you. Do we as a church need to learn that community is essential and necessary for us to endure in the faith? That we don't run this race alone? But let me encourage you, brothers and sisters. You know this. I know this about you. We know this. The way that we linger after church and fellowship with one another. Hardly any of us are leaving to get out that door and get on to our lives. We're staying here. We're encouraging one another. We're praying with one another. Before I applied for the position of senior pastor at Wheatland, I asked Carrie Doyle, Carrie, can you tell me about the culture there at Wheatland Community Church? Carrie Doyle is the district superintendent of the Allegheny District of the EFCA. And he said, the people love the word. And they love the fellowship around the word. And they love the fellowship. It's so encouraging to see. And he was absolutely right. When Kendra and I visited the first time, we're like, these people aren't even leaving. And they don't have any food. What's going on here? Be encouraged, church. Give glory to God, church. Cherish it. It is a gift. Again, we need the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 12, 14 through 15. Turn with me there. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Church, we need the book of Hebrews. Have you ever fallen asleep while reading the book of Leviticus? I have. And wondered, what is the point? Hebrews is for you. Hebrews 10, 11 through 14. Turn with me there. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet, quoting Psalm 110, the most quoted psalm in all of the New Testament, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Do you remember when you were young? I know some of you, it might be a little bit harder to remember when you were young. I get that. And your parents kept telling you, don't do that. Don't go that way. Watch out for that cliff. Watch out for that car. Be careful. Then the book of Hebrews is for you. The book of Hebrews is filled with six warnings. Michael Kruger, in his study guide, spells them out. And man, if you want a study guide, if you want to read through the book of Hebrews on your own, or even with a group, even better, with a group, get somebody in your home, have a meal together, start reading the book of Hebrews. You don't need the elder team's permission to do that. Praise God. Read through the book of Hebrews. Look at it. See how many times, how many different words are repeated here and there, and you begin to see a theme. You will see that the word better is repeated probably 26 times in some form or fashion. And then you'll see warnings in the book. The book of Hebrews is filled with six warnings. And then as a guide to your reading, let me highly recommend Michael Kruger's Hebrews for You by the Good Book Company. Excellent book. Not very technical at all. Very lay leader level. Gives you definitions in the glossary so you can understand, well, what does he mean by that? And then you can go into the glossary and look at it. It will help you to understand the word better. Where you're not calling evil good and good evil. So the first warning is pay attention. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Don't be like the Israelites in the wilderness. Chapter 3, 7 through 19. And now they get more intense. Don't fall away. 5:11, verses 6 through 12. Don't keep on sinning. Chapter 10, verses 19 through 39. Don't miss the grace of God. Chapter 12, 14 through 24. Don't refuse to listen to God. Chapter 12, 25 through 29. You know, when your check engine light comes on and you think that, what a dumb light, right? Check engine light coming on. Something must be wrong with the light. I'm just going to drive it. But when it starts flashing, that is a different story, right? Because usually when it starts flashing, it starts jerking. That happened in our old van a few years back. And I call it the mechanic. I think I got a problem. Yeah, you got a problem, all right. That's when they're good for us, right? As we make our way through the book of Hebrews, Hebrews is like that check engine light that's flashing these warnings. And we're going to look at these warnings close up, but don't let them scare you and believe the lie that you can lose your salvation, which some faith traditions do teach. But instead, let them do what they were purposed to do, and that is to sanctify you, to sanctify us, and to root us deeper into the one who is our salvation, Jesus Christ. Amen? The author of Hebrews, without a doubt, wants to know Jesus really is better. So much so that we would never want to turn our backs to our old ways and remain there, but instead be the prodigal. Be the prodigal who returns to his dad who is running after him. And to have this attitude every day, every second of the day, running back into Jesus' arms, letting him love us again, knowing that without him we cannot and will not persevere. Hebrews 6, 19 through 20. Please turn with me there. Hebrews 6, 19 through 20. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, which was called the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become what? A high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Say that 10 times fast. We will learn as we work our way through the book that Jesus is better in every way. Let me go back. Jesus is better than the prophets. Right off the bat, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, Jesus is better than the prophets. Jesus is better than the angels. Chapter 1, 4, verse 4, to chapter 2, verse 18. Jesus is better than Moses and Joshua. Chapter 3, verse 1, to chapter 4, verse 13. Jesus is better than Aaron. Chapter 4, verse 14, to chapter 7, verse 28. Jesus is better than the Old Covenant. Chapter 8, verse 1, chapter 10 to verse 18, Jesus is the better and final sacrifice. Chapter 10, 1 through 18, Jesus is the better and the final salvation. And I was trying to find a verse that would prove that. It's the whole book of Hebrews. In fact, it's the whole book of the Bible. But anyway, who is our better possession? It's Jesus. To live out a better faith, leading us to a better country, to a better kingdom that will not be shaken. Amen? As I close, if you don't know this Jesus, today is the day of salvation in him alone. Maybe you grew up in the church, or maybe you weren't churched at all. Man, we are so glad again that you're here. This Jesus that I have just shared about wants a relationship with you. He lived a perfect life. He walked the earth. He actually walked the earth. And he died a gruesome death on a cross. He rose again, though, so that you could live free from the bondage of your sin that maybe you're still making excuses for, and to bring you into his glorious grace. Will you not embrace him this day? Don't take my word, but listen to God's word, Hebrews 4:7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If you've been hurt by the church or someone in the church, or you've never set foot in a church until today, don't harden your heart. Ask God to give you a new one and fall into the arms of Jesus. And to those of us who know Christ and cherish Christ, listen to Hebrews 3:12 through 14. Turn with me there. And we will end our time. Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. Listen to this with humility. Lower your defenses. Surrender your pride. Verse 12. Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we, church, have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Pray with me. Oh, Lord God, thank you that Jesus is better. Better than we can ask or even imagine. Lord, forgive us for how our hearts have grown weary. How we've become bored with you. How we've become dissatisfied with you. Forgive me, Lord, for how fickle and forgetful, Lord, my heart can be. And renew us, O God, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And transform us, O God. And help us to be a church that, yes, loves your word, but yes, also lives it out in the places where you have placed us for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Here's the application. There we go. I want to end with this. You probably saw it. You probably saw it like glimpse go by or whatever, or whatever you want to use. Application, going back to those questions. To what degree are you defined by the world? No, really. Really take a close look at your life. What lies have you believed in? What lies are you believing in? Are you defined by the world, or are you defined by the Word? And how would you know? Ask somebody. How can you develop your life more fully by the Word? We've been talking about in Psalm 119 the importance of being in the Word. Because Christ was perfectly in the Word, we can too be in the Word. Not perfectly, but we can look to the one who is perfect. What are the idols in your life? Those things that take up more time, more of your worship than Jesus. What's directing you? Is it the Holy Spirit? Or is it your gut feeling? Can you identify those idols? Can you name them? Are you willing to confess them? That is, acknowledge them, even to another, and repent of them. I'm going to send out an email Tuesday morning. Why? Because on Monday, I rest. That's our family day. So if you're texting me and you're wondering, well, that jerk, he hasn't even texted me back yet. It's because Monday is my day of rest. It's my family's day of rest. And I guard it. It's a day for me to remember that I'm a sheep too. In a more extended part of it. I try to remember that every day as I spend time in His Word each morning. But that is a day for me to rest with my family. And if you've texted me or if you emailed me, I will definitely respond back to you when I get back into the office. We'll listen to the book of Hebrews once again. Now, I know I've been doing this, that if you feel comfortable in putting your hands out to receive it, you're welcome to do that. And if you guys, if you don't feel comfortable in doing that, you are not pressured to do that. This is not some kind of mystic thing that is happening. It is not some charismatic thing. Yes, I like to raise my hands, but I also like to receive it. It's a posture of humility. It's a posture of receiving the blessing that comes from God's Word. So listen to God's Word as He blesses us as we leave here, as we go out into the wilderness of this world once again, equipped to do good works for Him. Verse 20, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And God's people said, Amen. Church, love you. We're having a quick meeting after the service here, here in about 5 minutes, but would love to talk with you more after that if you have any questions of what has been shared today. If you need prayer, you've seen the elders. They can pray with you as well. So thank you. Have a blessed day.